This is the 1895 podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Tolka Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Duty.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. Just me and Ben this week, no three-man boot. The three-man boot is optimal, but unfortunately, Adam had to go off on his holidays, so just me and you, Ben. How are you?
Good, dude. It feels like I haven't seen you in such a long time. It's great to be here with you. Little throwback to our earlier episodes this season. Just me and you running the show.
Yeah, lot of heavy lifting to be done. A lot of heavy lifting. One place to start, really. Weavers Park on Friday. A 2-2 draw. Point gained or 2 points dropped?
I think the general consensus from everyone would be 2 points dropped. They're the nitty-gritty games of the season that, look, when you look back on, you could say a different result there could mean something else. I don't want to say it's a season-defining thing, or like, it's not that big of a deal. It's not that deep. But I would say, especially this year, standards that were set and standards the players have been playing to and management, everything, I think they would have viewed it as maybe two dropped. I could be wrong, but I think that's the way I see it, and I think that is just the general consensus.
I think it's one of them ones where before the game, if you told me we're going to draw 2-2, I would have said, oh, Jesus, like that's... We only drawn, but the way the game panned out,
on the merit of the game itself, like it is a bit of a weird one, isn't it?
Yeah, like when you're in the game, like when they scored that scabby free kick to go 2-1 up, I was like, oh, I'd bite your hand off for an equaliser here and just let that be that. So if you looked at it on paper, yeah, you would have been expecting to win the game, but it's one of them. It's kind of seemed like a perfect game for Drogheda. Like, they're just very well organised. They're dogged. They'll run all day.
They set up to frustrate, aren't they? Like, they're just, like, in possession, they do catch it quickly, and they did a few times with a few, like, over-the-top balls, and, you know, there was a few players on their side that had standout games, and they're really, really good. I don't think there's anyway, you can fault the performance from them when they did sit back and allow us to have possession. Like, they sat deep and they were patient. They didn't, like, rush into anything. They didn't lose their shape. It was just kind of a perfect storm for them, if that makes sense.
It does, but my issue would be, like, Drogheda... this might be a bit extreme. Does it come across that Drogheda maybe found the blueprint for frustrating us? You know, is it a case of, you know, just drop off, you know, let them have the lion's share of possession? They won't be able to break us down if we're so, you know, compact. And, like, it's no problem with that. That's, you know, Kev Doherty's remit there is to stay in the division. You do what you have to do to stay in the division. So,
like, he's out there to get points, isn't he? Like,
yeah, I just worry. Not worry. That's very, very dramatic. Just maybe a little tinge of...
A little apprehensive.
Apprehensive. See, there's a school teacher in you coming out, Ben. Now, those big words. That, like, we did kind of struggle. Now, having said that, Dean Williams and John Martin kind of were the attacking two, if you like. It was obviously a little change of shape and that thrown in. It didn't really look like scoring, I didn't think. Like, it didn't feel like it's coming in the first half. Look, Dean Williams was his first start of the season. Again, not to be harsh, it probably looked like his first start of the season. Just kind of worked really hard. Didn't do anything majorly wrong, but just didn't quite have the same impact on the game that the likes of a Boydie or a Matty Smith or those type of players would have. But probably I'd say Friday might have been the culmination of a difficult week with, you know, the bug going around that I think the manager changed his mind. He originally said it came from Castleknock, then he said it came from Donegal. I think Friday was more, we seen more the effects of the bug than Monday. I think Monday it was just a pure, you know, grit, determination type thing. You're like, you're faced with this challenge all of a sudden and you just get through it. Whereas I think maybe there was more, people maybe had more time to think for Friday, and we just looked a bit flat. And I don't mean flat as in a lack of effort. We just didn't look as sharp as we have done, I would have thought. I don't know whether you agree with that or not.
Yeah, no, I think I would agree. I just, especially in the first half, like, it'd be very hard for the likes of, like, Dean Williams. I know, as you said, first start. Like, that's a tough game to come into. Like, I know there's no easy games, but Drogheda away when they, you know, they're just there, like, they're aiming to frustrate, they're just bashing into you, there wasn't a lot falling for you. It is an incredibly tough game to come into the side. So, like, just nothing seemed to fall. It was kind of those, it was one of those things where it's like, it just doesn't look to be our night, if that makes sense. Like, it just, there'd be a pass and out of nowhere someone just come and intercept it. Like, there was one or two in the middle where it looked like there was a, some kind of ball going in between the half spaces and someone just step out and be able to clear it. And you're like, oh, no. Like, it just, nothing seemed to go to plan really in the first half. Like, there was a lot of frustration there. And I just think, again, as you said, the effects were felt. Maybe they weren't as sharp. The ball wasn't moved as quick. But I think the recovery in the second half was massive. Like, a much different team that comes out in the second half. I think, like, maybe that's to do with what the manager says at halftime or what Joey says. But when they came out, there was a fire there, I thought, anyway.
I'd agree with that. What's so interesting, and I have it written down here, Duffer's comments about Mark Coyle. I don't think, if we don't equalise when we do, I think it's a very, very different game, because they'll just come out, you know, full of energy, full of beans. Come on, we just do the same thing again. Get out of here with 3 points. Whereas, like, talk about a captain stepping into a captain's role and reefing his team back into the game.
Dragging them along.
Yeah, like, that is what I envisaged Mark Coyle as. If you could, like, before he signed for the club, if I could have taught up a goal that Mark Coyle would score, that is the goal. Just aggressive determination. Like, he bundles through about 4 people and then the keeper just to get the thing in the back of the net. And then even when it goes in, no mad, you know, celebrations, it was like, right, was let's get back. Let's get, like, going.
Business as usual, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and the manager after the game, like, he said, what was it? You go to the ends of the earth with Mark Coyle, likened them to Roy Keane, to Roy Keane's performance in the Champions League against Juventus. Yeah. Like,
that, look, if ever there's high praise, I'm pretty sure that's the highest of high praise, especially for a Mark Coyle, like, being in that position, a similar role, like a captain. Like, look, a lot of people look at Roy Keane and he is the epitome of what a captain is, just pure, like, leads by example. Like, he's what you'd want, and I think that's what Mark Coyle brings. And that goal just sums it up perfectly. The tenacity, just the determination to drag himself through everyone. Like, no one was stopping him there.
I even think if a referee was in the way, I don't think it would have stopped him. He would have just kept bulldozing through everybody.
The only thing that stopped him was the whistle and the ball hitting the net.
Yeah. And in pre-season, like, and obviously knew Luke was retiring and he had been just such a mainstay and such a kind of, just a really solid figure, if that makes sense. He was just a great captain, a great player, so reliable. Like, when Luke retired, I went, oh no, like, that's the kind of thing that could derail you, losing a captain like that. And, like, I didn't really know what to expect from Coyler. Like, you can kind of, I think it'd be very easy for that to just get on top of you, you know, the pressure of being a captain. And Like, I know some people say, look, it's just an armband. It doesn't change what you're doing or who you are. But Mark definitely seemed to really take it very personally that he was offered the captaincy. I know I interviewed him after it was announced, and like, you could just see he was beaming with pride. You would have been there for the interview as well, Ben. Like, it did seem to mean an awful lot to him. And the way he's responded, because after the Waterford game, that's when the little voice in the back of your head is going, oh, no, don't tell me. You know, could take a while for Coyler to settle into this. And we were in Talca for, was that a press conference after the Waterford game?
Yeah, before or over, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the manager had no qualms about giving Coyler a bit of stick. Mark himself,
what was it, 58 minutes?
Yeah, what was worse, John O'Sullivan in training today, or Mark Coyle's 58 minutes against Waterford, and he was comparing it all to the pitch. But the way he's kind of just responded to the captaincy, and he's just, I don't think you could have handpicked a better replacement for Luke. You'll never replace Luke Byrne. I think that's probably fair to say, but Mark Coyle's creating his own kind of bubble as a Shelburne captain, and I'm all for it.
No, I'd absolutely agree. Like, it's just, it's one of those, I don't want to say it's a sink or a swim, but like, if you talk about a tough act to follow, like, Luke Byrne is probably the toughest act to follow. He, like, I have no problem with saying greatest Shells captain I've ever seen anyway. I'd probably put him up there with the best in the club, history wise. Look, I've seen a lot of bad years, not a lot of great captains, but he was the epitome of what Shelburne means, I think. Like, he wore his heart in his sleeve. He went out there. Not a lot of people knew the struggles that he was going through on a weekly basis just to pull on that jersey. And I think to follow that is an incredibly difficult task. But the way Coyler's kind of, like, he's lived up to it, I think. I think it's fair to say that he has, and he's done so well. Like, he's made it his own. He's kind of dragging everyone along with him. Like, he's setting the standard, and I think that's really important.
That's the most important thing in a captain for me. Anyway, look, there's different types of captains. I think everyone says that. Like, you can have the kind of the performer, like the talented captain that, like, you know, follow this type thing. You've blood and guts captains. I think Coyler's a bit of everything, really. He's kind of everything wrapped up in one. He's well able to roar and shout and dig somebody out when he needs to. He's an arm around the shoulder when it needs doing. He's just the Mark Coyle love in. I didn't have this written down, I have to say, but
no.
Fairness, how many Luke Byrne love ins have we had on here? So about time Coyler got one. Sorry.
What I will say about Coyler as well is growth as a player over the last 18 months or so. Is incredible. Like,
he's the most improved player in the league,
Without a shadow of a doubt. When Mark Coyle came in, and look, I think everyone was of a similar opinion for a while there. Anytime he started alongside, I think it was A. Durbin, people said it didn't work.
Yeah, they were too similar.
Because they were too similar, all they did was kind of bash into people, and I think that was the general perception at the time, that they just were there to put in a tackle and run around for you. Mark Coyle is so much more than that. He will absolutely do it, no problem. But the little passes, the way he turns, looks, and carries the ball, he brings so much security to the team. I think that was sorely missed against Derry. And I think that's when you really, really see the impact, when he's not there.
You do, just as you were saying that there about his passing, Liam Burt's goal that ended up getting goal of the month, that comes from a little Mark Coyle, little slip through two midfielders. And
he does that so well, and it goes so under the radar.
Yeah, it does. Like, they're so, the two of them, himself and JJ, are brilliant at it. Just that little disguise, little, like,
it looks so easy, but yeah, no one, like, really it's not. Very hard to do.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, Mark Coyle's an absolute bloody legend. what I'll take out of that.
Absolute icon, captain. I think the manager said he followed him to the ends of the earth. So here, after the performances that he puts in, I'd be very much the same.
Yeah, I'd be in that queue myself. The goal we conceded, the first goal, and this probably sums up what I mean, but we just kind of didn't seem at it as much as we generally do be. Gav Malloy kind of, I don't really know what happens. It's weird. It kind of gets played past him, and it looked like he had recovered, no problem. And it's one of them where 99 times out of 100, Gav either wellies that up the line or glides out with it at his feet and drives into midfield with it. But for whatever reason, it just kind of gets lost under his feet. And then the cutback as well. Like it is a good finish, to be fair. It's a difficult one because it kind of comes through a body and then you see them with skied or scuffed an awful lot. The nature of the Drogheda player being able to kind of run past people to get to the edge of the box, I'm sure that was probably addressed by the staff. Like, you kind of see a Liam Burt scampering into the picture kind of late on. So you'd wonder, is that Liam's job, you know, to kind of track those runners from midfield? You probably guess it is. But look, it's the whole thing that I said this after the Pats game, said it after the Dundalk game. Like, they're the types of chances that we don't give up a whole lot of, but there you go. He's gone and stuck it in the bottom corner, whereas on another day, he could have been scuffed, could have been skied. Like, we're not getting cut open time and time again by teams, and as long as that trend continues, we'll be fine. We'll win an awful lot of football matches because we don't concede a whole lot. But it was interesting. Today, myself, yourself, and Dazzler were at the press conference with the manager and Paddy Barrett, where the two nominated. And Paddy Barrett spoke in his press conference about the team being really, really disappointed with the goals they're conceding. And here was me being like, I don't think I ever said they were unlucky to concede, but I was kind of giving it the, you know, it's really good goals on other teams' parts. But Paddy was very like, yeah, we've conceded, what is it? We conceded 5 or 6 goals, I think. Let me check that because that'll annoy me.
That will annoy you.
Yeah, I have to definitely have to have a look at that because that will drive me spare. 6. We've conceded 6 goals. And Paddy was like, 6 is too many. And like, conceding 6 goals in 9 games is like, that'd catch the eye.
That's,
no, but
is that not still the lowest in the division next to, is it Galway?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they're anti-footballers. But like, there's just this attitude, this kind of mindset at the minute where it's not good enough. You know, what we're doing isn't good enough. Like, drawing with Drogheda isn't good enough. Yeah, look, we're happy enough in the end to get a point, but not good enough. Like, after every performance, I don't think the manager has once come out and been like, yeah, we were brilliant. Like, you know, there hasn't been a complete performance, I don't think. There's always been stuff that we can take. And that's a mentality thing. Like, there's plenty of managers out there that, and players that, you know, you'd be top of the league after whatever it is, 8 games. And, you know, they'd be shouting from the rooftops, oh, we've been unbelievable. We've been this, that, and the other.
Yeah, it'd be champagne on ice.
Yeah, whereas with, like, Paddy today, especially, like, the glare he gave the old reporter that asked the question was like, no, we're not happy. You know, we shouldn't be conceding 6 and 9. And I think that's a mental attitude. It's brilliant, and it's what you want to see, but it's probably not something we're used to.
I think I'd agree with you that it's definitely not something we're used to because it's a winning mentality. And not in a bad way, but for a lot of years, it's just not something we had. We are very much survivalists. It was more about, well, we'll get up to the Premier Division and we'll stay in it for a little while. And we were happy with middle of the road for a long time. I think that's fair to say. I'm open to correction duty. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Like, I think absolutely we were happy with middle of the road. This squad, the staff, the manager, that's not, like, they're not here for that. As he says himself, not here for a jolly up. By the looks of it, they're here to win games and as many as they can win. And they'll look at the table when all is said and done. And look, that's an incredible mentality. That is just pure mentality monsters. Like, you love to see it. I love to hear it, really. Like, when you interview, like, any of the players, or you speak to any of the players, the manager, it's one game at a time. We'll see the next one. That's great. I I'm all for that. I back that. I think it's brilliant.
I agree. And I asked Paddy Barr today, I interviewed him in Tolgate at that press conference, and he said that, like, I asked him, you know, all the players are telling us the same thing when we interviewed them, you know, one game at a time, one game at a time. We're not even looking at the table, none of that. I said to him, like, at what stage do you kind of go, right, we have a chance here? And his response was, when you win it. So, like,
it's just amazing.
Like, yeah, it's great. It fascinates me that it's down to the manager, really, has just changed an entire mindset in 2 seasons, because this is, like, obviously we're in the third one now, in the early stages of the third one. He's changed a whole mindset. It's the same. I said this after the Cup semi-final against Waterford. There was no panic. There was no, here we go, here's the Shells moment coming up now, we'll end up losing 2-1. Yeah. That's gone. Like, that is in the rearview mirror for me now. I don't have those feelings anymore. It's more of a confidence. That's unsettling in its own right, to be totally honest with you.
It's kind of like a quiet confidence, isn't it? Like, you go into games and you're like, oh yeah, look, we'll see how it goes. But I've a lot of positivity going into the game. I was like, wait, hold on. That's not how we're supposed to be around here.
No, and I think it's down to, as well, like, the players that the staff have brought in, like Connor Cairns, Paddy Barrett, Gav Malloy, like, just even that little triangle, they're just, you trust them. Do you know, like, you trust Connor Cairns to just hoof a ball clear if he has to. Same with Paddy Barrett, same with Gav Malloy. And, like, if Connor Cairns wants to throw in a little Cruyff turn in the 6-yard box, grant, I totally trust him to do that as well. It just, it's a weird, it's unsettling because it's unfamiliar, I think, is probably the best way of putting it. I mentioned earlier, smelly free kick. They scored to go 2-1 up. It just took a major deflection off the wall. The equaliser, though.
My God.
Yeah.
That's... Oh. I've watched on repeat. It's
I struggled to, like... Tyreek just puts a ball into a great area. Like, it's just... You're talking inches past the draw to the centre-half. And for Boydy to get... Reggie's going to love this. For Boydy to get that amount of purchase on a header. And look, yeah, the keeper scrambles a little bit. And, you know, I'm sure they'll look at the keeper and say, oh, I could have done a lot better. But he's some distance out. Like, that's a fair old distance to be scoring a goal like that.
He's basically at the halfway line when he crosses it in. And it's literally, as you said, inch perfect to Boydy's head. And he finds it. The bottom corner, like, it's just, look, if you ever need a bit of magic, that is, like, that goal is magic. But look, we're on Lovins. I think Tariq has been incredibly consistent so far this season, and I think he kind of goes under the radar a bit.
He does.
And, like, the manager has talked about his quality and his footballing brain and what he possesses. That quality is right there. Like, you wouldn't find that pass. Like, it wouldn't look out of place in a Champions League winning team. Like, it's just cuts them open.
Here, here. And Lovins, I do have to throw this in because I think it's important. And I thought of it at the time. I was like, geez, that could be huge. Connor Cairns makes a save around 85, 86 minutes, I think it was. Drogheda lad is in one-on-one. Connor just stays up big and tall. Makes a save with his foot. Like, if that goes in 3-1, forget about it. You're dead and buried. They're the little, like, and it's not a little thing. It's a huge save. It's a great save. Like, it's not one that you'll find on a showreel of, you know, the greatest League of Ireland saves ever. But if he doesn't make that.
But it's game changing, isn't it?
Like, 100% it's game changing. 100% it is. And, like, as I say, hopefully we end up qualifying for Europe or doing whatever we do, they're the moments that I think go under the radar and don't get the appreciation they deserve. Like, people are happy to kind of jump on Connor a bit after the Waterford game. I didn't jump on him. think I was quite cool and collected at the time. I don't need any more feuds in my life at the moment. But like, people are quick to jump on, you know, a mishit clearance or a ball that might go through a keeper's hands or something like that. They're not always as quick to praise a game turning save like that one. I just think it's very important that it's mentioned.
As you said, people are quick to criticize. It's the most unforgiving position in football. Like, if you have a striker that doesn't score in a game, you get in the next one. If your keeper that makes a mistake, it's get him gone. He's terrible. Like, it's so unforgiving, like, being in that position. And I think the pressure he's under, and look, he probably put himself under a lot of pressure, but like, that kind of stuff, as you said, it won't pop up in a lot of places, but it is like that. It changes the game.
100%. There is a massive elephant in the room. I purposely wanted the football to take centre stage, but unfortunately, it has to be addressed. The smoke bomb hitting the linesman on Friday. Look, there are no words to sum up the stupidity, first of all. Plenty of people have tried to come up with words for it, but you can't. It's just utterly stupid and thick. And look, the manager straight away after the game, very quick to, you know, wish the linesman well. We'd obviously echo that here. We give refs, linos, officials stick. I think if you asked any referee or linesman, they'd say, yeah, that's part and parcel of the gig. But that's obviously, look, it's way out of realms of anything acceptable. But the club issued a statement. The manager addressed it. It went everywhere. It was on the news. And that's always going to happen with an incident like that. It's important to recognise that it is one person. That does not excuse it. Makes it even worse, in my opinion, that one dope is the cause of all the mayhem after it. But I know people did try to kind of lead people in the direction of who it was and stuff like that. And unfortunately, that's the only way you can kind of address it. Like, stuff happened in the Balls and Pats game and everyone was warned. All the clubs put out statements. And like, you can't legislate for one idiot. And that's what it was in the end. Whatever about like the safety side of it and like hitting the linesman, as the manager alluded to, it killed the whole game. And look, I know the game is a sideshow to the incident, but that's the way I'd be trying to put it to somebody. Like, you're here as a Shells fan. All you've done is kill the game off there. And like that, the manager said today that he'd love to bring the person up to the training ground. And he made very abundantly clear, he said, not to like have a pop, but just to explain to them what they've cost, what they've done. And it's true. There's probably not a whole lot more to add to it, Ben, but just utterly stupid.
Yeah, it's just not acceptable. Like, there were statements made, there was warnings given. People know, like, the risks, and they know the consequences. As you said, completely changes the game. When the game does resume, the free kick is askew. It changes the pacing. Like, we had momentum. Like, we could have done something, and it just killed it. So, look, the footballing side of things obviously wasn't great. But I think, look, as you said, I echo the sentiments of we wish linesmen all the best. And look, we don't need stuff like this for the league, for the club. Like, there's a lot of positives. We're building something good here. We don't need this.
No, absolutely not. As we mentioned, obviously the teams were taken off the pitch and they came back out to kind of replay the last 30 seconds to a minute. I don't understand why the ball was put where it was put after the teams came back out. Like, it was lined up for a shooting chance, which I'm sure Keith Ward was licking his lips at, and then all of a sudden it was yards back from where it originally was. Ward, he ended up getting a yellow for it, but look, I don't really want to go down that road either with obviously what happened. So what it does do is that result leads us into the dreaded week, Ben. Well, I dread it. I know not everybody does, but I absolutely dread Bowls Week. I hate it. I hate every bit of it. I just want the game to be over. I know I shouldn't, and I shouldn't get so wound up in it, but it's a big, big game for a lot of reasons. Look, the Dublin Derby, of course, against Bowls, but just for the group, for the club, for the team, you know, you could possibly extend your lead at the top of the league. It's a huge game, isn't it?
Look, to be honest, for me, they don't get much bigger. I know age is dependent as a Shells fan on who you view our rivals are, but for me, it's Bowls. Like, the first game I look for is when are we playing them at home first. Every year the fixtures come out. Like, it doesn't get any bigger for me.
I'd agree. It's a hard one because I think it's worse now, because when I was a kid, Shells were the be-all, end-all. And then obviously had all the First Division and all the rest of it. And I then was the laughing stock because I was the Shells fan. It was like, oh, how's the First Division? Oh, how's Merivale away? How's Salt Hill? And the bit that worries me now is that I think we've a great opportunity to bypass them altogether as a club, just with the trajectory that we're on.
There you go. You got it there.
Easy for me to say.
I'll say it five times fast.
It worries me that we're so close to being so much better and getting that bragging back, which is very important to me. It shouldn't be, but it is. I don't like that club. I can't put it into words. This game means an awful lot. It shouldn't mean as much as it does. It should just be another game, you know, another derby, but it's just not. And I can't help that. Can't help feeling that way. My entire week always depends on the outcome of the Shells game on a Friday. My entire month would probably depend on this one. So please, if you're going to win any game in the next four, win this one.
No pressure on the lads there anyway.
Nah, they don't listen. They don't listen, Ben. It's fine.
We're in a safe space. No, I think I do agree. Like, it is massive. Like, the bragging rights are just... Like, you love to say that you beat Bowls, especially because anything we seem to do, they always seem to react the loudest. Like, they could win a game, but they'll still be reacting to Shell stuff. You know, these things happen.
Do you know what killed me, Ben, is like back in the day you'd be getting texts, or like you'd have to go on to like one of the old forums or like one of the message boards to be seeing a bit of stick from a Bowls fan. Now it's everywhere. It's on Twitter, it's on Instagram, it's literally everywhere. You can't escape it.
Yeah.
Like before, I would just turn my phone off or through a sickie for the Monday morning in school so I didn't have to go in and listen to it. Whereas now it's everywhere. You cannot escape it. It's no matter how many accounts that you mute, another one will still pop up. And yeah. So please just win. Please just win. In terms of a starting 11, Ben, where do we go? What's the best option? What gives us the best chance of a win?
I still think our starting 11 from away to Pats is our strongest starting 11. With Boydie and Matty Smith up top. I think it's very, very hard to go against how much they give you in terms of not just quality, but just the literal, like the little intricacies, the pressing they do, they're both absolute. Like, you love Matty Smith, especially for his antics. He just loves a little nudge when he's going in for the ball. Like,
nudge.
Exactly. He just loves a nudge. A lot of passion. Like, it's just, I think we're at our strongest when those two lads are up top, and obviously Jarvis and Burt flanking them. Two lads in the middle, JJ, Coyler, I think Gab Malloy, Paddy Barrett, Gano, Tariq and Connor Kearns.
Interesting to see if Gano's fit. He obviously wasn't in the squad Friday. It was just like a minor little kind of strain, I think he said, in his calf. So don't think it's anything to worry about. The manager did mention today in his press conference that their one player is waiting on a fitness test, so I'd probably presume it's him. But we definitely felt his loss, I think, on Friday. So hopefully a fit Gano.
He's a lot, like, again, it's just leadership qualities. I think that's one thing this team have grown into over the course of the last few years. It's just everyone seems to possess that kind of shout ability where it's, they'll listen. Like, if a shout is given, everyone will listen. Like, there's no one in that team that seems a bit quiet. Like, everyone is there to hold each other accountable. And I think it's massive.
I am predicting some John O'Sullivan magic at some stage. I think there was too much riding on the first game against Bowes, going to Daly Mount. Yeah. Everyone was backing him to score first. And I think there was too much around it. I think we could see something on Friday. Something special.
An appearance off the bench, maybe a goal laid on. I think it just writes itself, doesn't it?
Imagine it. Oh.
The meltdown from Shelbyville. Oh.
I genuinely don't think it could get much better than that. So hopefully let's say our prayers and hope.
No pressure.
No. Nobody listens, Ben. It's totally fine. We did have some questions. A few people got in touch. Let me pull them up here. That would be an absolutely brilliant idea, wouldn't it, Ben?
Be pretty good, dude.
You think I would be prepared? I actually asked how people were feeling. Were they, you know, nervous, confident? An awful lot of nervousness, it's fair to say.
That's just the usual Shell's pessimism, though. The one result doesn't go the way you think, and it's, here we go again.
Yeah, Kieran Crowder was on. I'm confident that some angry goals will be scored by players who were let down by us on Friday. I resent that us, to be totally honest, but I agree with the sentiment.
Yeah.
Luke Byrne 07, not that Luke Byrne. This is a different Luke Byrne. He has a bad feeling about Friday. So there you go, Luke. You have been outed. Take your pessimism elsewhere. We don't want it here. Jerry McMahon, always on the wind-up. Handy one, 2-0. An in-and-out job where streets ahead it is.
But I genuinely would agree with that sentiment. I think we're light years ahead in the pitch. Coaching, obviously, look, they've just had a managerial change. So we'll see. But I think I just think we're better.
We are. That definitely we are, but it's just whether we can carry it out. That's the only, you know, it's all about us. Like, we're lucky now, we're in that position where if we do the job, we'll beat anybody. Like, sometimes you can play to your absolute best and you'll just be second best, you can't help it. I genuinely, with the exception of a fully fit Rovers team, there is not a better team in the country. So I'd stand by that.
It's bold, but I think it's true. Like, it's, especially with the start of the season, you look at the table, very hard to argue.
Like, you could do that thing where you go, you know, you go through like the Bowes starting 11 on Friday. There's not one of those players will get into the Shells team. I don't think, not in my opinion anyway. So no. That's the way I look at it. A certain Jack Moylan was on, Ben.
Oh dear.
Handy win, 2-0, Burt and Boyd. man who knows quite a lot about scoring against Bowes.
Yeah.
The real question is, if Liam or Boydy score, will they blow kisses to the Ballybuck end of the ground?
I really hope so. I think that would make my lock screen duty, as you know. I'm partial to a good Selly snap as a lock screen. Jack Moylan was there for a little while. I think Boyd made it at one stage. So, look, I'd like an updated one. That's all I'm saying.
Anto K was on asking, if you had to take one player from the Bowes squad to Shells, who would it be? Now, I've stung you with these questions, Ben. Sometimes I give you a chance to get together, but I didn't this time. One Bowes player you have to take. I think there's two acceptable answers here.
Are they coming into the starting 11 or just in the squad as like?
Nah, we'll just go squad player just to have.
McManus, James McManus.
I didn't think of him. I thought I would take Frank back. That was my first choice. And then my other choice was Keith Buckley, because at the end of the day, he is a Shells fan. So
bring him home.
Yeah, bring him home is right. What else have we got here? Liam O.H. and then a load of numbers. I'm not reading out all those numbers. Who's the most likely out of the current squad to end up as a famous Hollywood actor?
Paddy Barrett. everyone's seen his acting chops by the time this is out. It's already on the socials. His thanks, Gaffer. I think everyone's seen that. And he has the Oscar-winning capabilities.
Paddy Barrett is the correct answer, by the way. Sometimes there is a correct answer. This fella, I can't remember this lad's name, but he sends this question in every single week, and I try to ignore it, but I reckon if I just do it and get out of the way. Lads, do you prefer Nestle, Cadbury, or Galaxy Chocolate?
Oh, wow. Cadbury.
I agree. That is also the correct answer. Now, this
I don't know what's going on here.
This next one is from Sean. I presume that's supposed to be Smith. Yeah, I presume it's Sean Smith. It's meant to be. Lads, you need to create a 4-man table quiz team. You can include yourself, one staff member, and 2 players. I mean,
right.
Talk about a minefield.
No, it's easy.
Right, go on.
So it's myself. One staff member, is it?
One staff member.
Give me Davy Mack. I feel like Davy Mack wouldn't steer me wrong. Connor Kearns is absolutely incredible at quizzes.
Elaborate on that.
So we last year when we were nominated for Club Media of the Year, Connor was obviously up for the keeper and he was at our table and there was a quiz round. This man knows his stuff. He got one question right. It was like, which the last film to win all 3, I think it's 3 major Oscars, and I was like, here. And he just leans up and he goes, it's the Silence of the Lambs. Like, oh, no. So Connor Kearns absolutely gets my shout. Get him on my quiz team. I'm winning it all. And give me Jad.
Yeah, I think Jad's a pretty safe answer. Jad is an absolute genius for anyone that doesn't know. He is a legitimate genius. So he's probably a pretty obvious answer.
I really enjoyed that question.
It's a great question. It is a really, really good question. For my staff member, I'm going to go Mark Cornish. Because
that makes sense.
He's a bleeding physio. Like, the amount of stuff they have to do, the amount of bleeding college time and all they have to go through. Either himself or, I know Anto Holben is the kind of doctor. Either of those two, we'll go Mark Cornish. My other, an honourable mention I'm going to go with on that one, Goalkeepers are mental, generally speaking. That's the rule of thumb. Mental in different kind of ways, but I think Skinner could be a dark horse for a table quiz team. Just seems like the type of fella. Don't know what it is. Can't put my finger on it, but just looks like the type of fella. But I will go Mark Cornish.
Right. You can't pick the same players as me.
Well, they've absolutely shafted me then. If that's the case.
Well, I've just given you an excellent reason. That, like, my logic for Conor Kearns was so sound. Like, I've seen it firsthand. The man can quiz.
Right. Oh, here we go. I'm going to go. So me, Mark Cornish, I'm going to go Paddy Barrett. And I'll tell you why. Because he's seen a lot of the world.
As the manager kept saying today,
yeah, Cambodia. Yeah. He's well travelled. I think life experience can get you a long way in a table quiz. And my other one, don't ask me why, but I feel like Keith Ward. He just, again, seems like the type of fella to have a lot of useless knowledge.
And so you're basically accusing him of sitting there watching The Chase all night.
I don't know what it is. Well, like, fairness, you took all the correct answers, so didn't really leave me with a whole lot. Pretty dominant for the rest of the group.
You are not going to say Conor Kearns before me, surely, or Jad.
Ben, Conor Kearns drank whiskey straight at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That is an intelligent man.
And is that the mark of an intelligent man?
I was the way he was sitting. He had his legs crossed and everything. Absolutely.
Oh, dude, you're an easy man to please.
All right, you know, actually, who could be a mention in this? Will Jarvis. And I'll tell you why. Because that seems like a man who watches The Chase all day.
There's another feud started.
No. No, I'm not in the business of Shelburne feuds anymore. I'm fully retired. I've made up with everyone I have to make up with. So no more. Ben, we're nearly there. It's Richie Rankin's time. You can be a Richie Baker, all round sound fella, good Reds man, helpful, can't do enough for you. Or you can be a Richie Winters who ruins people's lives. I'll go first, just out of courtesy, Ben. My Richie Baker this week is Paddy Barrett.
Oh, no!
Yes. Just for being an all-round good sport with the hilarious video we'll be with you now. Himself and the manager helped to launch the new goalkeeper jersey.
They definitely launched it, all right.
Yeah, and you'll know what I mean when you watch that video, why he's my Richie Baker for this week. My Richie Winters, again, I got told this was a cop-out last week for not naming a name, but I don't want to get into that. My Richie Winters this week are people who look for credit for going to away matches in the league. That's not a Shells. It's not in the Shells, people. It's aimed league-wide. Oh, I travelled 2 hours to watch my team on Friday. Oh, I travelled 40 minutes, and then I was in work the next morning. Get a grip, will you? Honest to God. Get a grip. You're going to the game because you choose to go. Don't be going, putting it everywhere, looking for credit. That's nonsense. I hate all that. Ben, your Richie rankings, please, and then we'll wrap this up.
I think my Richie Baker was stolen, which, you know, fair play to you for going first. You got that in there. Has to be the manager. Again, I know I said him last week, but I'm going to give you two, right? The manager, for his part in that video, I think deserves credit as well, because talk about Hollywood caliber. That's up there with De Niro, Al Pacino kind of levels. Like,
he got very, very into it.
His delivery was on point. But I think he kind of, I think I give it to Tariq, just because, again, goes under the radar, consistent, pops up with a game winning pass. So that, I think, has to be it. And then
now the good one.
Can I go with a group of people?
Well, I just did, so I can't tell you. You can't go ahead.
People that refuse to stay in their own lane.
Oh, that's very vague. Oh.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Oh, that's very passive aggressive. Oh, yeah, I like that.
That's all I'm saying.
So vague. That's like something you'd hear a serial killer coming out with.
Hey, look, if you listen to it and you think it's about you, maybe it's time to start self-reflecting.
Oh, God. Academy results for the week. Our men's under 17s had a convincing win away to Finn Harps. Our men's 15s had a win away to Bray. And the 14s had a win at home to Finn Harps. Our 17s women's team also had a win at home to Finn Harps. I say it all the time, FEI Connect, one-stop shop for all the fixtures, results for the academy teams as well as the senior teams. Obviously, no fixture last week for the women's team. The women's international break is on at the moment. As we're recording, the national team are playing England tonight in the Aviva. So you'll know the result by the time you hear this. And this Saturday, Ben, a huge game in the Women's Premier Division. Ringsend Derby, home to Rovers.
Yeah, look, they don't really get, I think, much bigger in terms of box office and attraction to a game. I think it's got absolutely massive, but look, again, maybe it's just the mentality around the club, but I'd be quietly confident going into it.
It's like, I feel you kind of have to be confident. Rovers have had a pretty unsure start to the season. They've had just draws. 3 draws they've had. That's with DLR, Wexford and Treaty. So, like, no disrespect intended, but like the DLR and Treaty, you would be expecting to put away. Obviously, we didn't. We were probably shocked a bit by Sligo at home the first game, so no games are gimmies, but yeah, like there's more needle to this one again. Obviously, Jess Gargan has come back from Rovers, so there's that element to it. And if you're not careful, Galway can start to pull away at the top. Play 3-1-3. Probably need to be picking up wins now just to make sure no gap forms there. So it's a 2 o'clock kickoff this Saturday. It's in Tolka. Get along if you have your women's Premier Division season ticket. Bring it along. The general season ticket gets you access as well. There'll be tickets available to buy at the gate. Get yourself down. Lend your support in what is a massive Ringsend Derby. Derby's all around this weekend, Ben. Give me a points tally.
I think quietly optimistic, but I'll go with 6.
Yeah, I'm going to go 6 myself. Ben, as always, thank you very, very much for giving up your evening.
Pleasure, as always. I do love my hour with your duty.
At least somebody does. And I will see you on Friday. Up the Reds.
Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.